Blog Talk Radio.
This is not a time to get distracted. This is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word for you for the Lord, and you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you started, so please don't let the time you stole be wasted on things that you'll later regret, wishing you never.
Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. My name is Stacy Lunsford, and I thank you so much for joining us today. Today we have a very special guest, and her name is Tiffany Dean. She has a wonderful testimony that she's going to share with you But she is an exceptional artist. She is very gifted. She is full of gifts, and we are going to learn a lot about her background. We're going to learn a lot about her poetry, her music. She is a filmmaker. She is a playwright. And it is a privilege and an honor to introduce to some and introduce to some and present to others, Tiffany Dean. How are you? Tiffany, can you hear me? Hold on. Okay, we apologize for the technical difficulties. Tiffany, can you hear me now?
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. How are you?
You can hear me. I am great. I am great. Yesterday was my birthday, so
well,
I am blessed
birthday.
To see another year.
Yes, you are. You know, that is wonderful. I wish I would have known. I would have prepared something for you.
So you that is quite okay. Yeah, I turned.
Well, you make 50 look good, girl.
Thank you. Thank
you. So, did you do anything special?
Oh, yeah. I just hung out with friends. I acted like a big kid yesterday. That's what I did.
That is good. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
we walked.
Go ahead.
No, we walked around the city, and I had a photographer with me, and he had like photo shoot moments, and he took a lot of pictures, and I did a street performance with a xylophonist downtown, and then I met with my sons for lunch, for dinner. It was a great day. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is really nice. I would love to see the photos once they're ready.
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do, your performances? You did your poetry?
Yeah. It was a young lady, Hudson River, that was her name, Hudson River, and she's a xylophonist, and she sets up in different areas in Center City, Philly. And she was out there playing, and it's just beautiful. I mean, the xylophone is just such a different instrument. And
right.
You don't necessarily come across a lot of young people who play the xylophone. You know what I mean? And she's out on the street playing the xylophone. So I went over there, and then I just started doing I did a poem with her and my friend Dion. She videotaped it, and the photographer was there, so he was taking pictures of it. It was really cool. If I could spend my birthday anyway, yesterday was exactly the way I would have spent my birthday.
That is so awesome. And, you know, for her to be there, like, that was your love note from God. Like, I'm going to serenade you with this xylophone today.
Yeah. It was very emotional, even, you know, like my girlfriend who was filming it, like, it brought her to tears. The young lady playing the violin, when she watched the video footage afterwards, you know, she was kind of shedding a tear, and you know, ended up with us all kind of hugging each other. It was a moment. It was definitely a moment. It was one of those moments that makes me sit back and say, Lord, really, is this my life? Like, is this is what I have to look forward to, you know, in the next chapter? You know what I mean? It was a good moment.
And that's a beautiful thing. I'm very, very happy for you. Now, did you do a poem, like, freestyle, or you did one of your poems that you're familiar with?
I did one of a poem that I'm familiar with. I'm not comfortable with freestyle. I mean, people always assume that I can do it, and sometimes I get put in like positions where people be like, okay, just do something freestyle, and I'm usually like a deer caught in headlights. every time. every once in a while, you know, I can pull it off, but it doesn't happen too often. And the strangest thing about it is that if you were to say, here, right now, stick a pen in front of me and a piece of paper, I could do that. You know, but it's something about it actually coming out my mouth. I think it has a lot to do with the perfectionist in me. So I'm always afraid that it's not going to be what I want it to be.
Right.
You know, when I say it, you know. And it's that way sometimes with people who write, you know, like they can't do it on command just because their brain is telling them that this is not necessarily the right thing.
Right. I totally feel you on that because I can't, like, if I'm by myself and, like, my music is on and I'm grooving, I can freestyle, but then I don't remember what I said. And give me a piece of paper, I can write it down. And, you know, everybody is different that way. But I saw this video of this little girl. She's only about 8 or 9 years old, but she does freestyle. But she raps and everything. She has a career video, YouTube channel. I mean, she's really coming up. Phenomenal. And I'm going to see if I could get her to come on the show. But I was like, she is just so gifted. You know, everybody that has that gift is wonderful. But anyway, I don't want to take away from you. We want to say happy birthday to you. And thank you so much for being my guest today. So for those of you that do not know Tiffany, I met her as a poet, and I have gotten to know her through the years. And I just want to give a little bit of history with the background for today's show. As you know, Eloquently Speaking Radio Network is a place where real people with real problems that are looking for real solutions can get help, can get encouragement, can get inspired. And my goal is to highlight different authors, writers, poets, musicians, so that they can share the gifts that they have inside of them with the world to help make this place a better place. And I want to read a little bit of Tiffany's bio. I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to read different parts, but I wanted to connect it with what I just said, because talking to women, getting to know women, sometimes women wear masks, and they're really not true to themselves, and they're really not real with themselves. But meeting Tiffany and spending time talking to her, this woman is so real, and she truly is transparent. There is no mask here. As you get to know her through this interview tonight, what you hear is what you hear. And if you get a chance to see her in person as an artist, as a musician, as a playwright, out of all of the many hats that she wears, you will walk away inspired, encouraged, but you will know that you was in the presence of a woman that is real and that loves to speak the truth in love. So Tiffany feels that her purpose in life is to create beautiful art and share the journey along the way so that others can believe that they can do it too. To whom much is given, much is required. She believes that with the resume of endless gifts she has received, how could she not share them with the world? Now, Tiffany, I just wanted to start the interview off right with that part because I think it complements what you just shared with the audience about your birthday celebration, because it was purpose with you meeting the young lady that was playing the xylophone. It was purpose with your friends being there to record it with the video. And in that moment where you guys hugged, I'm quite sure it was just a humongous amount of love that was shared and that everyone was encouraged by each other's gifts. So thank you so much for being a gift to to Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And on that note, I want to turn the mic over to you and just tell our audience about the endless gifts that God has endowed you with, and you could start anywhere you want to start. Tiffany, did I lose you? Okay, Tiffany, okay. Are you there?
Hello? Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
I lost
I'm
you
here.
For a moment.
Okay. Okay. First of all, I want to just, like, say that I am truly humbled to even be on the show today. To hear you speak of me is different than how I speak of myself. But it's nothing but God and light and blessings all the way around, though. As far as the gifts that I have, I tell people that I'm that person, you know, when God decided that I'm going to give out gifts to this set of people on the earth right now. And he's going around from one person to the next person to the next person, and he gives them a gift, and then he goes to the next person. Well, he gets to about the fifth or sixth person, and then he says, you know what, this next gift, I want to give that to Tiffany, too. And then he goes back and he gives me another one. And it just keeps going around and around. And I honestly don't even believe I know everything that he has placed in me already at this point in time. I started drawing and writing stories when I was 3. People always say, like, how in the world did you start doing that when you were 3? But I did. You know, I just did. Instead of, like, do you remember back in the day the golden books?
Yeah.
The Pokey Puppy and, you know, all those books. And they used mm-hmm. to sell them in the corner stores, if you remember, right? So I'm telling my age, definitely. All right. They used to sell them in the corner stores. And I used to go in the corner stores, and my sister would tell me I could get anything I want. And I never got candy. I never got chips, cookies. I never bought any of that stuff. I always bought a book every time we went into the store. And this was from the time I was a baby. I would go over to the shelf and grab a book for her to buy for me. And then eventually I started drawing pictures and writing what I thought were words up underneath of the drawings. And then I would sit and read the stories to my brothers and sisters, and or they would read them back to me, and it'd be funny because they could look at the pictures and they would know exactly what these make-believe words were supposed to be saying. And that's really how it all started off, me drawing and writing stories at 3. By the time I was 4, I could read and write, and I was writing real stories and pictures along with it. By the time I was 4, before I even went into school, I was reading and writing. But when I was 13, I was given the gift of poetry. When I'm about 19 or 20, I started performing. So I have been performing spoken word poetry for over 25 years at this point. Well, 25 years, like more than 25 years. Like, it's going on 30 years now that I have been writing and performing spoken word poetry as a performance artist. And this is just all in the realm of writing. I'm a playwright also. I had a friend introduce me to as an assistant director on one of his plays, and then I never looked back from that point. So I started writing my own plays. I started short plays and full-length plays. I've had 2 plays produced off-Broadway. I've got to travel to West Coast with my productions. I've been a part of the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. I've a lot within theater within a pretty much short period of time from when I started off with theater. I jumped into filmmaking, and I have been the director on a couple of projects, the assistant director on a couple of projects, and then I have written several film projects that I will be working on myself within the next couple of years, within the next year, several film projects myself. And I've co-written some other film projects that you can find on YouTube. And then I didn't even talk about the visual stuff. It's hard because I want to. you know, because I just really do feel like every time I look, God is sitting something else in front of me and saying, you can do this. And a lot of times I was thinking for years, I was thinking, well, how am I going to do that too? You know what I mean? But he just keeps doing it. And as long as he keeps giving them to me, I'm just going to keep taking it and I'm going to keep using it for his glory.
And that is good. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because many times, like God, just listening to you, I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed because there's so many like layers to you, and you're successful in each and every layer, you know. But it's like, God, is there anything else that you have for me to do? Because, like, I'm still trying to perfect this stuff I'm doing now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We have 24 hours in a day. Go ahead.
Okay. There's something within our society that makes us think that we can only be one thing, though. You know, and I don't necessarily think that that's what God has. That's man's way of trying to teach us how to, you know, function in life, is to say you can only be one thing or two things. Well, I'm a walking testimony that's just not true, you know, because it's kind of hard to be given to the point where you actually recognize and see the gifts. Because sometimes we have gifts and we are not opened to recognizing exactly what they are. You know what I mean? But how can you recognize a gift and not use it? So how can I tell God, you know, you gave this to me, but that man over there said I can only use one at a time.
That's
like,
good.
Who is that man compared to God?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But that's, I want to pause there for a moment, because so many people are not utilizing the gifts that God has given unto them because of the limitations and restrictions that have been placed on them by other people that are doing absolutely nothing with their gifts.
Exactly. And I've been a part of that cycle too. I know the Bible says that, you know, your gifts will make room for you. But I have spent most of my life asking God for what's next. And when I'm asking him, when I ask him for what's next, I'm not asking him for gifts. I'm asking him for someone else's gift to show me favor.
Right.
If that makes sense to you. I'm not asking him to show me how I can use the gifts that he gave me. No, I'm asking him to show me a job, show me where somebody else is doing something that I can go work for them. And I was doing that on a constant basis, because that's what the world will have you think that you have to live. You know, that capitalist society, you know, they're the people who you know, up at the top, who have the businesses, and there's the people who are the workers. But for the most part, most of us are workers, and we're not taught that we can do things other than that, you know. And I fell into that. And then at one point in time, I had to sit down and really think about it. And I thought about how that was real brat-like. You know, how can God just keep giving me and giving me and giving me? And what do I do? I sit back and say, oh, that was cute, God, and that was nice, but, you know, how am I going to make some money? Where's the job at? And always assuming that whatever's going to come to me is going to come through a man. Not a man in relationship-wise, but just like man in general. You know what I mean? And instead of realizing that he keeps giving me the way to do my own, to do that, there's someone else's breakthrough too. So even if you felt you had a gift that healed you, you know what I mean? Because like I always think, art saved my life. You know, well, that was God's way of saving me, you know, was through art. But it didn't just save my life. There's somebody else out there who saw something that I did, heard me speak, or, you know, see me perform, watch one of my plays. There was somebody else that got healed as well. So that is the proof that it wasn't just for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is all done
for God and his kingdom, you know?
Yes, and I totally agree with you that our gifts are not for us. It's to be shared. with others. And I want to ask you to go back to when you was 3 years old. You said you was writing stories. So, and you shared with your siblings. I have to get some water. How was your gift nurtured at that young age? Because if you're sharing with your siblings, I'm quite sure your mother, your parents recognized your gift. So did they encourage you to continue writing? Did they get books for you? Did they get journals? Like, can you explain a little bit more about how you started developing that gift? Because you also said by the time you got to, you know, in higher grades, you was writing poetry. So how did you mature in those gifts?
I had a really good – I've always had a really, really good support system. And my family, especially, it's twofold. So I'll explain it this way. When I was young, like I said, my sister nurtured that gift. Every time I wanted a book, I got a book. You know, when we would go to the toy stores or you know, things like that, I got sketchbooks. I learned how to read because they taught me, but I also, when we would go to stores and we would go into the malls or things, my favorite place was always the bookstore or the book section inside of Sears or, you know what I mean, or inside department stores. And I would even buy the education was big for me too, so I even would buy the workbooks. Like, I would buy workbooks on my own, usually a couple of grades ahead of wherever I was. So when I was in kindergarten, I was working on the third and fourth grader workbooks in writing and things like that. And my family supported it. They were like excited, you know, like I could be asking for anything. I could have been asking for candy to rot my teeth out. I could have been asking for every toy imaginable. But for me, it was always a book, a drawing pad, colored pencils, crayons, paint. It was always something like that, and they indulged everything I did in any way, in anything that I wanted to be a part of. They allowed that to happen for me, and it was great. There was a problem to it, though. As I got older, it was conveyed to me by my father that was all a hobby. You know, this is just what you like to do, but you have to choose a real job. You have to choose real thing that you want to do for the rest of your life. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the statement, artists starve. My daughter won't starve. So on one end, they indulged my creativity, but on the other end, it was this clear understanding that it's completely separate from real life.
Okay.
And that was how they were brought up. You know, that generation is how they looked at it, you know. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle fighting that because to a certain extent, I didn't know how to do that. All I knew how to do was to be me. And deep down to my core, I was an artist. I was a creative. And it did cause a lot of issues. It causes some stress between me and my father to this day, along with some other things, you know, that happened to this day because I wasn't allowed to be me. So therefore, I was lost in this world of halfway in and halfway out. Always saying that I wanted to live my life as an artist, but at the same time stuck in this reality race of, but that's not reality. Reality is you go to work for someone and they give you a paycheck and maybe a quarter raise every year, if you're lucky. That was what reality was, you know. But I didn't want to be a part of reality. You know, I wanted to be a part of, and I didn't understand it at that time. It took me till I was old, you know, much older, like in my 40s, I would say, before I really understood the idea of purpose. You know what I mean?
Right.
And your gifts and things like that. Like I didn't understand that. So it was always back and forth. You know, I was constantly telling someone, you know what, I'm just going to work for me. I would quit a job, or jobs would go away because I couldn't put as much into it as I want to, because my heart wasn't there. You know what I mean? And I would quit a job, and then I get scared, and I would always go back. Or I would let go of a job, and then I'd have somebody in my ear constantly, you know, just saying, how are you going to do this? Well, how are you going to live? Well, how are you going to, and then I would go back and start working again, you know. But it made me wonder, like, why did you take the time to nurture all these gifts, somehow family-wise, if you're not going to allow me to do them?
Right. And that, you know, that is a very good question, and I'm glad that you're explaining it this way, because there are many people that, if they're not listening, at some point somebody will listen, and there are so many creatives out here. I believe the world is full of creatives, and many times people, sadly, they die and go to the cemetery, if that's where, you know, they're going to be buried. Some people are cremated, but they're buried with all of those gifts, all of those talents and abilities, because somebody discouraged them. And it's real important as parents. That's one of the reasons I asked you about the support that you had and the nurturing at that young age, because that's unusual. That was a very special gift that God gave you. And I'm glad to see that you have, you know, grown and matured in it, and you're still expanding in it. But our parents are really archers, and it's their job to, like, you know, put us in that bow and just shoot us in the direction that we want to go. And so many parents try to live their lives through their children, or they instill the fear in them, you know, you could do this, but you can't do that. And I guess, Tiffany, the most amazing thing about your testimony so far is that everything that your dad did not want you to do, you have superseded your own expectations. So you have remained true to you, and you're that creative, you're living that life. And I just believe that your dad sees that, and that whatever ripples are in your relationship, at some point that is going to, you know, smooth out as well. But I'm very proud of you, because many people choose to please their parents versus tapping into their own freedom and happiness. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. So thank you for sharing your boldness, you know, with us, but, you know, remaining true to what's inside of you.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, you know, because like I was saying, I had some other struggles too, along with that. It was because, you know, when you know what you're supposed to do, or when you have that thing that's that deep within inside of you, there's always going to be something or someone who's going to try to go against it, you know, who's going to try to knock you off your square and make you believe that you can't do something, you know. And I wish more people actually would listen to the other voice. You know,
yes.
Can you imagine the world if more creatives decide, you know, actually listened to their heart instead of what someone else told them? Because, you know, people think of art as just being such something that's just so frivolous to a certain, you know, to a certain extent. And it's like, oh, like my dad used to say, oh, you sound like an artist again. I never forget one day. He was trying to tell me about something that I should have done. And I said, well, Daddy, I don't want to do that because blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, you sound like such, there you go, sounding like an artist again. And he had his face all turned up, you know, about it. And I was so happy my sister was sitting next to me, because she said, her reply to him was, well, Daddy, she is an artist. You
right.
know what I mean? And it's just, I want to be me, you know. It's, people don't realize how it's actually harder to not be you than it is to be you. You know, so many creatives who are not living within their purpose, who are depressed, you know, who just not happy at all, who often take their own lives because they can't be who they are and who God created them to be, or they feel that they can't. But, like, I'm a walking testimony that you can.
Yes.
You can do that. And yes, it took me a long time to realize it, you know what I mean? So it's been almost 4 years, I believe, that I've been living completely off of God's promise the last 4 years.
And it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. If you put everything down on paper, it shouldn't have worked. I mean, to a certain extent, COVID even kind of, like, helped push it along. You know, it was, like, really during the pandemic, and I'm still living off of his promise. You know what I mean? It's been one of those things. And, but I have. Like, he has definitely sustained me. A roof over my head. I have food to eat. I have clothes to wear. I have, you know, amazing friends. I still, you know, my birthday was something short of amazing. How I spent my birthday yesterday was something short of amazing. And all of this was really just on me living off of God's promise, because what happened was I spent so much time running away from my gifts and asking God for a job instead of the gifts. And the jobs didn't work out. It was just something about them. They never did. I think the longest job I've ever had was about 4 years. But towards the end, it would be disastrous. It would be disastrous on me. I'd become extremely depressed. Things were happening, like I would have headaches and pains in my stomach before I get to work that would leave the second I left work. There would be times when I was doing the best that I could and it's still not working out right. You know, it would be all kinds of things that were standing in the way, and then this job would be gone too, you know. And then it seems like every time that happened, God would hand another gift over to me. You know, like, you can do this. And then I'm looking at the gift like, Case in point, I'm a doll artist also. I'm a doll artist and I'm a mixed media artist. So I paint on canvases and I create dolls. But how the doll thing started was I had gotten away from drawing and painting and things like that. I didn't paint at the time. I used to draw. And I had gotten away from that. I wasn't doing that at all. And we were struggling. I had three sons, and I was married. But our family in general was struggling, and I was pregnant with my fourth child, which happened to be a girl. And one night I was just like, Lord, something has to give. Like, can you please give me something to help me take care of my family? And I literally woke up the next morning and knew I knew how to make dolls. I never made a doll before in my life, never even considered making dolls before in my life. And my sister used to sew, and so I went to my parents' house where all her sewing table was, where everything, all her sewing supplies were, and I went in her sewing cabinet and I cleared it out. And she just happened to have, even though she didn't make dolls herself, she literally had everything in that cabinet that I could use to make a doll.
Okay.
And so that was divine in itself, because that's not what she did. But she did, from the stuffing, the fabric, everything she had. And I went home and I pulled out a black and white composition book. I drew my first doll. I made my first pattern. I created the doll, and within a week it was already sold. And literally every time, if I needed anything from that point on for the next several years, I sold a doll. Dolls put food in my kids' stomach, clothes on their back. You know, we were just barely paying the rent. Sometimes dolls paid the electric bill. You know, dolls allowed my children to not even know that they were without. You know. But I still never took it serious. Still
and
never
I
looked at it
to,
as
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I never actually looked at it as something that was like something that I could do that I could live off of. It just was that thing that God gave me that time. And that's what I mean by feeling like I was a, like a brat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
but what were you saying?
I want you to tell the audience the name of your dolls, your doll collection, and the purpose of your dolls as it relates to African-American women and African-American or black women, black girls, because it's really significant. And mm-hmm. because this is radio, I can't show anyone, but I am going
okay.
to have all of, I'm going to have, but I'm saying this for the radio listeners, I'm going to have Tiffany's dolls on display, the photos and the videos, so that you can see these dolls. And I do encourage you to share all of her contact information. She's going to provide her social media information as well as her contact information. But I promise you that once you see these dolls, that you will place an order. And you will be very satisfied. Whether you get one for your mother, for your sister, for your daughter, for your niece, these dolls represent the beauty of who we are as African-American women or as black women. And Tiffany, just tell us about the inspiration, why you create the dolls the way you do and the unique look that they have.
Okay, I will. So my doll is La Diva Dolls. Hello?
Yeah, uh-huh, go ahead.
Okay. My dolls, they're called La Diva Dolls. And the name of it comes from, it actually comes from me. So a lot of people know me as La Diva Noir. I'm the Black Diva. And that name was given to me by my niece. She wrote a poem back when she was 14 called Divine Divas. And I was her inspiration in starting to write poetry. And she named me La Diva Noir. And when I started, when I created the business and I named it La Diva Dolls, it's because it was a direct extension of me and how I see myself and how I wanted other people to be able to see themselves in dolls in particular. Our tagline is A Doll's Life Never Ends. So what will your story tell?
Wow.
And I try
it.
my best to incorporate us in the dolls in general. So a lot of times if you see black dolls on the market nowadays, they really just look like white dolls with brown skin. I create a doll for you, and they truly look like black girls down to the hair. A lot of times they'll just give them curly hair. No, I give kinky hair. I use locks, braids. You know, they have afros. I want to show this beautiful creation with our true beauty, not the beauty that we try to cover up and hide. You know, you straighten your hair. No, I want it to be seen that the hair coming out your head is beautiful. If you have locks, that's something within our culture that a lot of people have, and I want that to be seen. You know, and I actually create the dolls as an extension of that person. I want you to look at a doll and see something in that doll that says, this is me, you know, or this is what I would want. I like to consider them your best friend, an extension of you. So I create dolls just off the top of my head and different ideas that I like and you know, things that I want to show. But I also have a series called The Tailored Divas. And that's when I will interview you, ask you questions about yourself, ask you questions about your life, you know, or if it's for someone else, ask you questions about that person, about their life, their likes, their dislikes, you know, their hopes, their dreams, their everything. And then I sit back and I create a doll that will become that person's best friend. And I have never, ever missed the mark yet.
Well,
so the dolls, they may not look yeah, they may not look exactly like that person, but you can definitely look at that doll and know it was made for that person if you know that person. And usually my collectors, the people who purchase my work, when they choose a doll, most usually they chose a doll because they saw something in that doll that resonated with them as well. And that's my goal. We need to there's enough representation of white dolls. There's enough representation of Caucasian people. We need to be able to see ourselves in our art.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Truly, that's the reason. You know, when I saw your dolls, I fell in love with them. And I was telling everybody about them. And I said, you know what, I have to invite her on to the show because they were just absolutely gorgeous. And then I saw the video on YouTube when you was actually designing, you were sewing at the sewing machine. I said, look at her. She is not the strangest. She is on it, like every stitch.
Uh-huh.
And I was so, you know, just excited for you. But I was like, I want to provide a platform where people can see your dolls, where they can learn about your dolls because, you know, this is something that is needed for our people. And, yes, we do have enough white dolls. And our girls need to know, you know, there are dolls out here that look like you that you can relate to. And if it's a birthday, how they have, you know, the girls can go now to the hair salon and have her little entourage with her and they all get made up and stuff. How awesome mm-hmm. if the party would be you the host and you sit down and talk to all of the birthday guests and get the orders for the dolls. And then they, you know, when you present the gifts to them, it's like, wow, this really is like me. Look at this. You know, I just
think that is
this
a business plan. That's the business plan that I'm working on now. That is, I want to be right up there with American Girl, but with a different twist on it because I'm truly creating something that's just for that person. You know what
wow.
I mean?
Okay.
It's going eventually the whole thing. I want to open it up for it to be a whole experience. I don't want to actually tell too much, you know,
right now because
it is something. I'm working on it, but the idea is to create the idea of you getting your doll, or you having a doll made, whether you're an adult, a child, whether you're doing this to honor your grandmother, you know, your grandmother or, you know what I mean, or something like that, I want it to be an actual experience that you will remember.
Right. So,
That's the goal. I want it to be. And then I also want to do some give back with that too. You know, I want to offer it to people who can't afford it also, you know.
Right.
Okay. In different ways. So I have some things that I'm building and I'm putting together and just keep looking for it, you know. Philly's going to be the flagship.
Okay.
It's going to be all over the world, okay? I want to
and
do some training. I want to train some folks to make them. I want to do some train some folks to make them because I want to keep the handmade business intact no matter how it grows and manifest. It's manifestation time now, okay? It's going to grow.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to handle all of it myself. I can't wait to be able to teach some other people how to do it and just to give back that other avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Create that other avenue for them as well.
Okay. So on that note, I want to let our radio listeners know that Tiffany Dean is the owner of La Diva Doll, where she has specialized in one-of-a-kind mixed-media art and original cloth dolls for over 20 years. Her artwork has been featured in art galleries and art shows across the country. On top of all that, she is also teaching artists, offering workshops for both adults and teens in creating writing, poetry performance, and mixed media art. She is also the author of a book of poetry called La Diva Noir Speaks. I didn't say that right. Say that for me, please.
Yeah, you did it good enough. La Diva Noir Speaks.
Rabiva Naor Speaks, which was published in 2015 by Two Pens and Lent Inc. She is currently working on the reissue of that book along with additional content as well as a children's book, both to be released sometime in 2022. So she is the co-founder of Coup, of the collection Mike Productions, along with Jody Austin, which is a theater and film production company that has been producing theater and poetry-related productions since 2014. Within the last couple of years, film has been added to that list as well as the YouTube viral release of the short film She Speaks Not, written and directed by Jody Austin, where Tiffany was the assistant director for that project. Also, the short film Woodwind, which was co-written by Tiffany along with Jody Austin and Edgar Lee Fawcett, and it was directed by Max Fields. So I wanted to just give the rest of your information to share all of your gifts with our radio listeners. And Tiffany, I'm going to invite you back for part two so that we could get to the other part of the interview. But we are okay. Coming to a close now, and I want to give you an opportunity to share your social media and contact information with our guest today.
Okay. So you can see my work, my dolls, at my website, which is ladivadolls.com. It's ladivadolls.com. Also follow me on social media, on Instagram under @ladiva_dolls. And also where you can see, that's my art page where you can see my mostly art there. And you also please follow me at @simply_TiffanyDean. And that's TiffanyDean. And that's where I do most of my influencer work, like vlogging, and I share my life in general and my crazy escapades and motivational speech and motivational quotes and things like that. And then also follow me on TikTok at @ladivadolls, LADIVADOLLS, @ladivadolls. And that's how you can get me.
Okay, now do you have any upcoming workshops, any writing workshops coming up?
No, I do not have any writing workshops coming up. I do have a play coming up the end of May, and but as soon as I have the particulars about that, I will make sure that you have that so that you can put it out to the listening audience.
Okay. So I have a request. If you can, I'll give you your choice to share a poem with us. It was one that you sent to me. So you could do that or you could do whatever one, whatever you feel led to use. But I want you to share a poem with our audience, if you would.
Okay, let me think. Why am I drawing a blank? I knew about this interview beforehand. For some reason, I'm like, I really am truly drawing a blank here.
Okay.
What
do you have? A talk with my father. That's the one you sent to me.
What did I send to you?
A talk with my father. A talk with my father.
Okay. And I don't even remember that one anymore. I'm so sorry.
Okay,
I don't know why I'm drawing it.
No, it's okay. You could do it the next time you come. Because I kind of put you on the spot.
Yeah, like I really, really like it just it's like, and then wait a minute, and then I'm thinking, well, where's one of my books? Like, read one out of the book, and then I couldn't find a book.
Right.
And it's just,
You know, while you're looking, I'll just talk a little bit because we have covered a lot of Tiffany's background, her success, and, you know, life is not easy. And adversities come in and out of our lives, and it doesn't matter what has happened to you, as Tiffany said. What matters is how you get up from where you are and become the best you that you can be. So we invite you to join us for our second interview with Tiffany Dean, which will be entitled Tiffany Dean, A Woman That Has Been Loosed, and where we will learn about her testimony and some of the things that she had to overcome, and hear her testimony, how God has continuously had his hand upon her and has been guiding her. And I want to say that a lot of times when we have multiple gifts inside of us, that the hardships that we experience, and sometimes on a regular basis, mixed with those negative words that Tiffany was saying, that people will say things to discourage us, to make us think that we can't do the things that we want to do, it's all an assignment to distract you from God's purpose and to prevent you from using your gifts. So you heard a lot of wonderful, positive things that this phenomenal woman is doing, and we want you to know that you can do it too. So if something Tiffany said today has blessed you, has encouraged you, has motivated you, I want to encourage you to reach out to Tiffany so that you can talk to her directly. It may be something that, you know, you're struggling with overcoming, and through writing, just talking to her, she can encourage you. I can encourage you. But we want you to walk away from this interview tonight knowing that all things are possible. And Tiffany, I'm going to turn it over to you for closing remarks, and I will reach out to you off the air so that we can schedule a part two. But thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us, and the mic is yours for closing remarks.
All right. So I did pull out a poem. It's not a really long one. It's called okay. It Is What It Is, and it's, we are one. Struggling to occupy the exact same space and time, yet we keep crossing the lines. Taking turns stepping out of bounds, our nouns and verbs are supposed to coexist by now, and I don't understand because I know you. I know your eyes, I know your lips, I know you, I know your heart, I know your hips, I know you. I know when the demons are playing with you because I see the angels camped about, but I need you in my space, so I try to keep you from stepping out. But do you recognize when I leave our space? If you don't, it's probably my fault. I spend way too much time bottling up my thoughts, storing them in the recesses of my mind, afraid that if I open up my mouth, one might fly out and catch on the tail of the wind and soaring off to the four corners of the earth, declaring to all who hear that you... That you are not my soulmate. I don't want to accept that fate. I just want you in my space. I want to remember the time forever, even if sharing this space blocks out my sun like flowers needing nourishment from my photosynthesis. Be darned. We stand. Two hearts beating as one, or was it one heart beating for both because the other is gone, and did it flee because it felt trapped, or did it die a slow death, and this is my cry for help. They say if one only truly wants to end their life, they never, ever tell a soul. Well, I'm throwing out a lifeline, pulling the alarm, because you lit one more match. The space is filling up with smoke, choking off my breath. So I apologize for the injustice that Maya may have placed upon you, but I have got to jump ship, because deep down inside, I want to live. And I've heard love being described as a many splendid thing, but there is no splendor in the death of a spirit being trapped in the wrong place.
Wow.
And then, of course, I'm talking about an actual relationship. with that, like a mm-hmm. physical relationship or a romantic relationship, but that's in general. You know,
right.
the things that we think we have to hold on to, that we, it's time to let go. They're not helping us. They're not getting us to where we need to go and that place that we need to be at. And it's okay to say, this is not for me. And it's okay for you to say that you want to live.
Yes. You are so on
and
point.
Go ahead. I was just saying that I'm open. I'm open. People can talk to me. I'm definitely accessible. You follow me on social media. DM me. Ask me questions. You know, I use me as a resource. You know.
And take her on her word. She is full of information. But she will respond to you. In this poem, I'm going to ask you to share it again when we come back for part two, because the conversation I had with some sisters yesterday, it so complements the whole conversation. And we really
That's
need
divine.
To know when it's time to close the door, it's time to do, and don't go back. Don't look back. Like, you have to live, and it's okay. You have permission to live your mm-hmm. life and to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you so much for sharing that poem, and we want to give you an opportunity to give the closing remarks.
Mm-hmm.
And your contact information again. Yeah. You know, this is a plug for you, girl. Put it out there.
Okay. Yeah, please, please, please check out my website, LaDivaDolls.com. Also, follow me on social media at LaDiva_Dolls. On Instagram for my strictly my art page, but also under simply_Tiffany, TiffanI Dean, DEAN, on there, and that's where I kind of like live my entire life out loud for everyone to see. You'll see the good, the bad. I am a firm believer that not just showing you my triumphs, but letting you know when I'm struggling as well, because that's real life. So please, please check me out on there and check me out on TikTok. You know, I'm a little bit funny. I'm a little bit more silly on TikTok, I would say, but it's at LaDivaDolls on TikTok. Actually, I'm a lot more silly on TikTok, but I show the chronicles of my life on there as well. And I really appreciate you guys all for listening. And it is the truth. Reach out to me. If you DM me, ask me a question, you just need to talk. If you just need, you know, some encouragement to push you towards that purpose, you know, if you don't know what that purpose is and you need just somebody to hash around some ideas so we can figure out what it is, I am here. I made a deal with God that if he sustained me, that I would do what he wants me to do. So I use my platform, my gifts, and everything I have in order to encourage others to do the same. And that's real rap. And I truly want to do that. And I want to thank you for having me on your show. This was amazing. And that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And everyone, you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And our special guest today was Tiffany Dean. And she will be returning. Stay tuned in. We will have more information. But please visit her social media sites and definitely reach out to her and get those orders ready for her LaDiva Dolls. Your daughter is waiting to get hers. All right. We thank you so
much.
You're
waiting to get yours. Because I am a firm believer that we should not allow society to tell us at what age we can stop playing.
Oh, when you was
giving
information, I'm like, oh, I need an appointment, because it's really been in my spirit.
Okay.
It's, well, 'cause I want my LaDiva Eloquently Speaking Doll.
Okay.
So I will definitely get my appointment. And Tiffany, thank you so much. This has been really, really good. And continued success to you in all of your endeavors. And may God continue to use you. You are a gift to the world. And every day that you post something inspirational on all of your sites, you are sharing your gift with the world, and you are allowing them to unwrap you.
So thank you for allowing me to unwrap you in front of our guest today. And I'm quite sure.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Had to be a little bit poetic there. But this is for fun, and I will be in touch. I look forward to working with you.
All right. Great.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. You too.